Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been. Center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
very much. Brother Charles, the Lord bless you. And we thank God for the song from the U.S. Brethren. Jesus, be the center of it all. May the Lord be the center of each of our lives in the name of Jesus. I would like to thank God for all of us that are gathered again today and our brethren from different nations whom God has brought, who have followed this Bible study to this point. We don't take your being here for granted. We know it is God who is doing a new thing in our day and raising an army of men and women who will stand out there to establish the kingdom even in the land of the living. Before we pray together, I just want to ask that you please, wherever you are, whether you are following us on Zoom, or you are on the YouTube, or you're on Telegram, or MixLR, or Facebook, or any other platform, I would like you to please, let's bow our head together as we pray to the Lord. And Father, we thank you for your help. Thank you for your presence that has been with us from week to week. Thank you for the opportunity of sitting down to look at the Word of God, to study, to see what you are doing and what you are saying to us. And Father, we thank you. Today, O God, as we have come almost to the conclusion of this passage, we ask, O God, that your Spirit will stand for us and you will help us to walk with you. We're praying that wherever our brethren are gathered, those that are sitting together in their own Bible study class or in their discipleship class, or those that have adopted this as their weekly Bible study in their churches, all of us, and those that are sitting together, either facing it from the YouTube, or those that are together as families, wherever we are, and whatever platform, we ask you to reach out to each one of us. Whatever it is that we brought to this Bible study today, touch us and meet us at the point of our needs. As we sang with the singing ministry team from U.S., they have asked that Jesus, you be the center of it all, center in our lives, center in your church. We do ask again, be the center even of this Bible study as we draw conclusions today. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We believe you, O God, that much more than we can think or imagine, you are going to show us your mercy at this point. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Last week, I know we took an interlude of a message where we are looking at the supremacy of Christ's salvation. Just to create an interlude, because last week we were all very busy with Student and Youth Congress that held everywhere. But today we are about now to conclude our study in the book of Esther. I would like you to note that we have been studying the book of Esther. We have come to chapter 9. I think as at our last point, we have come to verse 18. And we are going to be starting today from verse 19 or verse 18 as the Lord will lead us. And we have been walking through this book. So while we have come to Esther chapter 9, and we're about to conclude, we have also come to this chapter here, chapter 9 here, and we shall also hope to conclude with chapter 10 as the Lord will be permitting us. So if you have your book, please bring it along as we read together. And for today, our sister from Belize, Sister Teresita, and our sister Jennifer from the U.S. will be helping us to read scriptures. So let me ask us to begin right away to read Esther chapter 9, and I'd like you to please speak it for us from verse 17 up to verse 32. And let's ask Sister Teresita from Belize to read it. And then chapter 10, we will read from verse 1 to 3, which is the only three verses that chapter 10 carries for us. Then we'll ask Sister Jennifer to read that for us as we go ahead today. Esther chapter 9 from verse 17. Please start from 17 and you get on to verse 32. Just to conclude where we have read as we study today. Yes.
Esther chapter 9 verses 17.
Yes.
This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar. On the 14th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th. And on the 15th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the village who dwelled in the unwalled towns celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and the 15th days of the month of Adar, as the days on which the Jews had rested from their enemies, and as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, and Mordecai had written to them, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agite, the enemies of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and has caused this is the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So they call these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants, and all who would join them, that without fail, they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim shall not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with the words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim as their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Okay.
Thank you very much. That is up to the end of chapter 9, up to verse 32. Let's have Sister Jennifer read chapter 10, verse 1 to 3.
Esther chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, New King James Version reads, "And King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might, and the account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus, and was great among the Jews, and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen." Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. What a very glorious ending we have on this particular book. Now, if we take a recap of what we have studied to this point, you will remember that by the end of chapter 7, Haman had been brought to an end as he was hanged on the gallows which he had prepared for Mordecai. When the Lord rose to answer prayers, the Lord rose to respond to the cry of God's people, and overnight things turned and God vindicated the righteous. But we saw that Esther and Mordecai, they knew that the decree that Haman had caused the king to sign into law, if it is not repealed, the 13th day of that month of Adar was still going to be a day of bloodshed against the children of Israel, because it had been written that on that day, the enemies of the Jews should have the liberty to kill, to loot, to destroy them, whatever they want to do to their lives. So we saw Esther went ahead again in her intercessory life, which we spent time to deal with the last time. Saw that she went back again and pleaded. And so the king Ahasuerus said, yes, whatever has been written has been written. It can't be changed. It will take another decree to obtain another decree. Sit down and write your own. Whatever you desire for the Jews, write it. So they also wrote that on that same 13th day, the decree that now came out said, on that day, anybody who sought to attack the children of Israel, who are their enemies, they have the liberty to also be with them as it pleases them. So we saw that on the day that the enemy had planned that the children of Israel were all going to be slaughtered all over the provinces, 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, the Lord turned it around on that same day. That's what we began to read. And we came as far as that the last time we spoke. And we saw that the Jews, they did not go attacking anybody. They were only standing against those who came to loot their lives and to destroy it. So on the 13th day, that is verse 17 of chapter 9 now, on the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested day, and made it a day of feasting and a day of gladness. The day that could have been turned to sorrow, God turned it will become a day of rejoicing for them. But the issue that before us today is the fact that it was an event that took place. But the children of Israel decided that they would rather make it a day of sharing testimonies, sharing their gifts, and, you know, spreading gifts unto their neighbors all over, as if to say, God, who took sorrow and tears away from us on this particular day, is worthy to be praised, and we need to celebrate with one another. Now, that feast was established by a decree. That's what I was looking at as we try to conclude our study today. Why did he make it a decree? I want us to note few things that were coming out of it as we try to conclude our study. So we saw that on the verse 17 that we read, it said, this was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and a day of gladness. God has done them well. And actually, it could have been a day of mourning, a day of sorrow, a day of calamities, but God turned it around. And I'm believing that God, who turned their story and their sorrow around, is still the Lord on the throne. If anyone is in our midst and you have been going through difficult challenges and you have been weeping and crying, and as if we have been devastated, let us say to you again that God, who answers prayer, will answer our prayer for you. God will turn it again, turn it all around, and your captivity will turn around. You yourself, you'll find your reason to feast and to rejoice and to share your testimonies all around your neighborhood. We're told, therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled towns celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to another, to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th day of the month of Adar. What a wisdom. So it became a yearly holiday for them. 14th and 15th of that month, every year, the children of Israel gather to remember what could have been the Holocaust, what could have been a destruction of their entire lineage. But God turned it around. I don't want to go beyond here, but I can say to you that many, many things that happened to the nation of Israel over time, and God had always stood to fight for them. God has always stood to deliver them. And they have several testimonies. Even in our present day, you know how much the children of Israel had been so scattered, and it looked as if there would be no nation on the map of the world named Israel. But when it was time, according to biblical prophecy, we saw God brought them back together. And all the pressure around them, see how God intervenes on their behalf, because all the covenant God made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, that covenant that God will not break. Again, we are going through in our own generation, and you are watching how things are going, and it's all pointing at the end time. But the first thing I saw was that Mordecai was not going to allow what God did in their lives to pass into oblivion. He does not want it to be forgotten. He wants to note it so that even the generations coming behind they will know what the Lord has done. Now, when I'm looking at this, I look at how God was the one who instructed Moses when they took them out of Egypt that Passover night. That God said, okay, you are going to establish a feast of Passover that every year you will recount to your children, your children's children, how the Lord took you out of the house of bondage. So I found that God had established a custom with the children of Israel of celebrating notable days of deliverance, notable times of divine intervention for them. I don't know whether any of you have ever known how to celebrate in the presence of God days that are very peculiar in your life, days in which God himself intervened on your behalf. I know several of you listening to me, you might be celebrating your birthday or your wedding day, anniversary, and all of this, which we have no qualms about. We thank God. But I'm seeing a purposeful celebration, a purposeful celebration of what God has done, a recounting of the way God worked in their lives in order to bring revival. I know there are people that are celebrating Azusa Street that happened in 1904, 1905, 1906, and some people are gathering to celebrate that and say, oh, we have had 100 years of Azusa and all of that. Now, what I'm saying is that the feast that was established, you know, by Mordecai and Esther, were told that it was to be done yearly, every year, the 14th day and the 15th days of the month of Adar were separated as days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. You can see that there was a definition to it. What do we do on such day? We rejoice. We make it a day of feasting, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. I was just looking at how to bring, you know, our sense of gratitude to God on the things that God has done for us. And what can we use our special days to accomplish for God? I saw here that they were going to minister to one another by sending gifts to one another. They were going to send gifts to the poor. Maybe they were going to arrange to visit the orphanages and arrange to reach out to the widows and all the people in the land, just to remember that on this particular day, we would have been dead. We would have been wiped out. But God preserved us. God preserved us. And so that feast had continued until now. Actually, they call it the Feast of Purim. They call it the Feast of Purim. And this is very, very interesting. Some people might think that maybe even the Christmas and the Boxing Day came out of that kind of arrangement. I don't have any particular thing to say about that. Neither is it very necessary for us to begin to deal with that. All I just want to note is that days that are set aside to celebrate, to bring to remembrance what God did in our lives before, and to use it as an occasion to minister to others, to share our goods with those of our friends, neighbors, including the poor, it's okay. It's okay. I just saw that they were perpetuating their spirit of gratitude. They were perpetuating the victory that God wrought for them. And they don't want history to be lost. They don't want it to be lost, what God did. These are the reasons that I saw them. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun as Mordecai had written to them. Verse 23. Now, and in verse 24, he said, they were now going ahead to explain that because Haman, the son of Amedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them and to cast spoil, that is, the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But God turned it aside. God turned it around. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. You can see that they are only recounting how the whole thing happened. I'm looking at the fact that God is doing some good things in our lives. Don't let it be lost. Sit down with your children, sit down with your siblings, and tell them what God has done in your life. Call them for a small house celebration, so as to be able to share the goodness of the Lord with them and what God has done in your life. I saw that this is the way to celebrate good things, good days that God has allowed to come in our lives, to be able to minister to the poor, to be able to send gifts to one another, to be able to recount the way the Lord worked in our midst, and to be able to return all glory to God who has done us well. So they call these days Purim after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instruction and according to the prescribed time. Now, I was just looking at what is the wisdom behind that? The wisdom of keeping the truth, the wisdom of celebrating the grace of God, the wisdom of using it as an opportunity to reach the next generation and to talk to those that are coming behind. These are the things we saw them establishing. And these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Now, that's the purpose. That's the purpose. It's not just that we want to dance and eat and drink and forget the purpose for it. I can see so many people, they would like to celebrate Christmas, and they do everything about Christmas without any reference to Christ. They do everything. In fact, most of what they do will offend Christ rather than give glory to God. I remember that for a long time, even the name Christ was being taken away, taken out of the Christmas. They just say Xmas. And thank God that I think Donald Trump came during his first tenure and said, no, it's not X. It is Christ. And the celebration of Christmas was being restored. The question is that these are days that have been set apart. If we didn't tell the story, if we did not explain what happened to generations coming behind, it would just be a mere feast, no meaning. But I want you to see that what they established was purposeful. What they established was clear. So I'll read it again. So they call these days Purim. I'm reading verse 26 again. So they call these days Purim after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail, they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation. So they were not just doing something that would end in their own lifetime. They were establishing this so that this goodness of God to their lives will be recounted, so that their young people will know what God can do, what is the power of praying to a living God. Every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. This was the purpose. Now, I wanted to look at what are those kind of days of celebration in your own life, in your own family, in your own context. What is the purpose of it? Are you always faithful to tell the story? We have just finished the time of Easter period, and there was the Good Friday, there was the Easter Sunday, and Easter Monday. What an opportunity, again, to tell the story of the man of Calvary, to tell the story of how he went to the cross. But unfortunately, I found so many people, they will take it as an holiday, public holiday, but they will have no recourse to the reason why we celebrate those days. This was what Esther and Mordecai does not want to happen. They did not want it to happen. So they wrote down and they said, these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning the matters of their fasting and lamenting. I just loved this passage to see how God is faithful and how we should not be too quick to forget the faithfulness of God in our lives. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Hallelujah. Now, so we like to go and pick our book to read. So let's ask Sister Jennifer this time to pick it from page 157, A Memorial Feast. We just pick it up. It just remains one or two pages there before we now go to chapter 10. Can you read that for us?
Yes, sir. A Memorial Feast. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who live in the rural towns hold the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day for gladness and feasting, as a holiday, and as a day on which they send gifts of food to one another. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and also the 15th day of the same year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Esther 9:19-22. Therefore, they called these days Purim, after the term Pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring and all who joined them, that without fail, they would keep these 2 days according to what was written and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. Esther 9:26-28. Amen. What a day to remember the goodness of God to them. The Jews in the rural areas and other parts of the provinces held the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day of gladness and feasting. It was regarded as a holiday and as a day in which to send gifts of food to one another. It was a day of joy and rest for them all over the nations and the provinces. It became like the Christmas season to them. The Jews in the city of Susa kept the 15th day as their own day of feasting. It became an ordinance for them and their generations following. It was a day when they celebrated the Lord's deliverance from the hand of all that hated them. Mordecai wrote all the Jews in the kingdom to put meaning to these days and to set them apart as days never to be forgotten. He obliged them to keep the 14th and 15th days of the month Adar as the days in which they got relief from their enemies, as their sorrow turned to gladness and mourning to rejoicing. Amen. The 13th day was specifically earmarked for their destruction, which in God's mercy became the turnaround for them in the land. It would always be a day to assert the victory of the Lord should anyone else rear up his ugly head. But the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar would be holiday for them. They would be days of feasting and sharing gifts and goods among themselves because there were the days that when the Jews got relief, I'm sorry, because these were the days when the Jews got relief from their enemies. Mm-hmm. It became an ordinance. It became a national day for the Jews and all their generation. The days were rightly named after the poor and became the Purim holiday to remind them and their descendants of the goodness of the Lord. As a result of Mordecai's letter and their bitter experiences, the Jews firmly obligated themselves, their offspring, and all who joined them to keep without fail these 2 days according to what was written and at the time appointed every year. It is indeed appropriate to bring to mind the way the Lord has led us in our wilderness journeys. It is wisdom for us to set days apart to remember the goodness of the Lord to us and recount the victories the Lord has granted us before our children. I must not think little of days that must become anniversary days for me and my family. Days in which we must remember and recount what God had done for us on our journey in life. Amen. Esther and Mordecai also used the instrument of their office to make it a decree and law in the land. It became official, a national holiday for everyone in the kingdom. What a great thing to see the secular world recognizing the victory of God's people. We can expect a day in our nation when righteousness will so prevail as to be celebrated. It has happened before when Christian holidays were inserted in the calendar of nations as national and international holidays. Though bastardized now, we still must praise God for how it all began. Amen. We need to cry to God with all of our hearts that he will so exalt righteousness in the lands again for it to gain such prominence. The prayer and fasting of Mordecai, Esther, and all the Jews brought them to this place of feasting. We desire also that we see a colossal intervention in our affairs such that it can become a national phenomenon which cannot be ignored. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jennifer, for a good reading. This was very important. You know, as I was looking at this and we're trying to draw conclusions, I was saying, what a day. What a day. 13th day was earmarked by the enemy of the Jews to make it another day of holocaust, a day when all the Jews will be wiped out of the kingdom. But God, who has an eye on the nation of Israel, because of the seed that was going to crush the head of the serpent, God was sustaining it and keeping it. And as I see them celebrating, many things was cropping in my mind. I saw that now it is possible for righteousness to gain prominence. It is possible for the victory of the Lord to become a national victory, even in our nations. It is possible. It's looking far-fetched now, but I want to look back and note that what became the holidays in many, many nations today, even nations that are no longer passionate about Christ and about his church, was because there was a time when revival came. There was a time when God intervened and nations began to recognize these particular days. Now, this happened in the kingdom of Ahasuerus, but we are saying that God is able to do that again for us. But for you as a family, are there days that God would have wanted you to bring back to your memory, where you will sit back and tell stories of how God has led you thus far, so that your children, your children's children, your disciples, your neighbors, they will know and have opportunity to share with you what the Lord has done in your life. The last paragraph that our sister read, we need to cry to God with all our hearts that God will so exalt righteousness in the land again, for you to gain such a prominence. The prayer and fasting of Mordecai, Esther, and all the Jews brought them to this place of feasting. In our own times of crying, in our own times of fasting and prayer, may he bring us to this kind of experience again, where righteousness will be restored in our nation to the point that it could gain such a national prominence. In the name of Jesus. Now, before we turn to chapter 10, which will be our concluding chapter for today and for this book, let me ask Brother Charles to help us read the prayer that we have put together for the conclusion of chapter 9. Would you like to read that for us, Brother Charles? Yes.
Dear Lord, help me to always celebrate and enforce the victory you granted me at Calvary. Help me to celebrate your goodness and faithfulness. May I see the battles I face from the enemy day by day as opportunities to affect the victories at the cross. Teach me, Lord, to set days apart to recount the victories you have granted me. Lord, I must learn to walk in your ways, doing what pleases you all the time. I must abide in your love by keeping all the word you have spoken to my life. Obedience to your loving commandments will place me among those who become great in your house. Please help me. As I go on in life, may my appetite be trimmed, lest I be spoiled by the spoils of this world. Help me, Lord, to labor that righteousness may prevail in our land. Can righteousness prevail? Yes, it can, Lord. Let it prevail and be celebrated in all nations.
Amen.
Amen.
I really wish, even as we are drawing conclusions, that this will be our cry, this will be our prayer, that in all our nations, in all our communities, the righteousness that exalts the nation will prevail over our time, over our people, over our government, until the Lord is the Lord again over our nations in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we want to go to the end of this book. We cannot say let's come back another week to finish up. We would rather finish now because we have only three more verses from chapter 10. And you wonder why the book did not end in chapter 9. Why did it flow up to chapter 10? And for me, I felt that as short as it is, it was like an epilogue. It was like a summary of the goodness of God. It's about a kind of recap of how God had moved, how God took a man from nothingness unto greatness. How God took an Esther, who was an orphan, who was brought up with a very, very low income Anna, like Mordecai, who just was a security guard at the gate. How God took from that point, and he became a prime minister, the daughter became a queen, and see the great work they were doing for God in their generation. I felt this thing that we are capturing in the book of Esther, as we conclude today, is very critical. And I want you to look at it. How much can we apply it to our own lives? So let me ask Sister Teresita now to come along with us and read that chapter 10 again. Sister Teresita, can you read the chapter 10 from the New King James or the Old King James? Chapter 10, it has only three verses. And it's very significant that we should look at what God is saying to us.
Esther chapter 10, and King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus, and was great among the Jews, and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. Amen.
What a way to conclude. For Mordecai, the Jew, was second to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews, and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. I'm going to still be asking that we read that epilogue together before we draw conclusions today, and before we begin to reason with ourselves as we go to God in prayer. Let's read the epilogue on the life of Mordecai. That's the summary of the entire story of the book of Esther, as the Lord will grant to us. We have already read the Esther 10, 1 to 3. So let me ask Sister Jennifer to now read from It Is Noteworthy. Let's note things that we can note out of this.
It is noteworthy that the last chapter of the book of Esther is an epilogue and a tribute to the man Mordecai. Whereas the king imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea and as an exercise of his kingdom authority, the Bible immediately points at the man, Mordecai, as the man behind the entire success story we have just studied.
So can I ask you to note that? No matter what you do for God in the secret, a day is coming when God will reward you openly. No matter how obscure you are, if you are faithful, a time is coming when God will set you on the platform to bring glory to his name through your life. Now, we are ending this book. I was particularly touched that the end of it, chapter 10, was not talking about Esther. It was talking about Mordecai. And I thought it was rightly so, that Mordecai was the man who gave us Esther. When Esther's father and mother died, if there was no Mordecai to pick her up, we would not be talking of any Esther today. If Esther had been violated through the carelessness of this man, Mordecai, if she had been disbarred or raped by careless people because he himself was not caring, we would not have been talking of Esther today. We would not have been among those girls, those virgins that were brought to the palace for this beauty contest that will produce a queen. So if Mordecai had not labored quiet, and we saw that the labor of Mordecai on Esther was very strong. Esther was so obedient. Everything that he taught her, she kept. Until she even became the queen. So we are noting that whatever any of you do for God, no matter how silently you labor for God, it shall not be forgotten. That scripture says, God is not unrighteous as to forget your labor of love rendered unto his name. Sister Jennifer, go ahead.
Yes. God does not forget labors of love, especially the ones done in secret. Mm. Mordecai was a man who faithfully labored behind the scene. He labored on an orphan girl without exploiting her. He raised Esther up and sought a place of honor for her without seeking personal gain. Mm. He preserved the life of the king from wicked men who would have killed him in pursuit of their ambition, yet without seeking any publicity. Mordecai would not bow to a wicked man who was being corruptly advanced in the kingdom. He was true to his faith in God and the ordinances of his fathers. He was not ashamed to be called a Jew when it appeared to be a high risk to be one. The high honor to which Mordecai was advanced by the king was a reward of faithfulness and steadfastness. The full account of this was written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia. Mordecai, the gatekeeper, and the captive from Israel walked with his God and would not bow to an Amalekite, son of Agag. He battled for righteousness and his people. He endangered his own life and yet prayed to the God of heaven who was able to deliver him. All of these have redounded to a success story. I think that means all of these have resounded to a success story. It indeed pays to serve the Lord. Amen. Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Ahasuerus. He was great among his people and popular with the multitude of his brothers. For he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to them all.
Thank you. Can you wait on that?
Yes.
Thank you, Jennifer. So we are noting that God does not forget labors of love, especially the one that is rendered in the secret place. The one that we labor for and not look for immediate reward. We saw how Mordecai labored in an orphan girl without exploiting her. He raised Esther up and sought a place of honor for her without seeking personal gain. He preserved the life of the king from wicked men who would have killed him in pursuit of their own ambition, yet without seeking any publicity. Mordecai would not bow to a wicked man who was being corruptly advanced in the kingdom. He was true to his faith in God and the ordinances of his father. He was not ashamed to be called a Jew when it appeared to be a Jew is a high risk. I saw how the man said, I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. I cannot bow to wickedness. As I was looking at those things, I'm just wondering, what am I spending my own life doing? Who am I investing my life on? What am I doing that I'll be remembered for? What is it that God will want me to be remembered for? These are issues that I can see in the life of Mordecai. And I want to say, if God advanced Mordecai the way he did and gave him a high honor, God was not just being a respecter of persons. God was doing the normal thing he would have done. God was advancing a gatekeeper and a captive from Israel. He was advancing him because this man walked with his God and would not bow to Amalekite. Now, please think about it. Look at it in your own life. What is it that you are doing? Particularly, things that you are doing secretly to serve God, or you are destroying things in the secret. Has God given you opportunity to raise young people, but rather you ravage them? Those that could have been queens and kings today, they have been cut short. They have become like a cripples under your hand. What is it that God will remember you for? He said, all that God did in the life of Mordecai, how he endangered his life, how he battled for righteousness and his people, how he would not agree to bow to an Amalekite. All of this was a danger to his life, but they were men who knew how to call on God. And we saw God coming for them. And we said, indeed, it pays to serve the Lord. Now, let's go on reading. Sister Jennifer, can you read one more paragraph? And then we'll ask Sister Teresa to help us finish it up. Yes?
Yes. The full accounts of the high honor of Mordecai to which the king advanced him were written in the book of the Chronicles. When he foiled the coup, it was recorded. When he refused to bow the knee to evil, it was recorded. When he went on a long fast with sackcloth, it was recorded. All the acts of his obedience in the secret were recorded. There is a book up there above where all I do day in and day out is being recorded. There is a chronicle above that contains all my movement and all my travels. It contains the full account of all that I meet on my journeys and what I do with them. It is amazing to my heart today again that there is a record being kept up there above. It is not scanty. It is rather a full account of my walk with God. Amen.
Wow. There is a chronicle above. And I wish all of you will remember that there is a record being kept of your day-to-day life, where all that you did is being recorded. The little kindness you showed to someone, even if nobody saw it, is recorded. The battles you fought and won is being recorded. And as we are saying, all these are recorded. All those times that you'd rather compromised is also on record. How we need to pray that God will help us to make sure that the record that they are keeping for us in glory, they are favorable record because we are doing correct things. Sister Teresa, would you like to pick it from there? I know
how civil servants treasure their secret files in the registry. They fight tooth and nail to make sure their letters of condemnations are filed properly. They ensure that the letters of promotion, appointments, confirmation, and all that is pleasant get filed appropriately. In that same breath, they dread any letter of query or warning entering the files. Some may even arrange to burn down a whole government office in order to destroy an unfavorable record. They will do all this that is possible to retrieve the wrong page from a file. They are very concerned about the minutes on the pages. They know that their destiny depends on that file. They are fully aware that no one would consider them for anything in the future if their records in the file were not favorable. There is indeed a secret file being opened for each one of us. It is kept in the safe in heaven.
Wow. Don't go yet. Don't go yet. There is a secret file being opened for each one of us. It is kept not loosely here or there. It is kept in the safe in heaven. The record of our lives are being kept. And if I'm ending this chapter at this point, I just want you to know that your life, every part of it is being recorded. But it's possible that you will do something in the course of this time that will, you know, cancel wrong record, as we saw in the scripture, that all the unfavorable record that stood against us at the cross, Jesus blotted them out to give you a new beginning. Are you listening to us in the course of this meeting? Records are kept quite all right, but you can turn to the Lord who can change every record and give you a new beginning. But I want you to know that nothing goes without record in the presence of God. Teresa, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
He who keeps the book says, I know thy works. I know what you are doing and where you have been. Records are showing all you have done. My cry to the Lord is that I will be aware that books are kept, which will be opened one day. Each man will receive the reward according to all that he has done, whether good or bad. Thank God, Mordecai's record in the Chronicles brought him into honor on the day the king looked through. A day is coming when the King of Kings will look into the Chronicles concerning me. I only hope and pray that he finds written that could lift me up to honor and admit me into his rest in glory. I am concerned about my records, and I plead for mercy that God may blot out by the blood of Jesus the unfavorable record that the enemy may be keeping secretly against me. As Esther 10:3 says, for Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. What a way to conclude the book of Esther. Honor was given to whom honor was due. Though the book was named after Esther the queen, the main character painted in its pages was the man Mordecai. He was the man behind all that happened. He was the hand that molded Esther from nothingness to greatness. He was the guard that placed the queen in the palace. It was appropriate that the last word of this book must highlight him. Again, in his greatness, he sought not his own welfare or comfort, He
even
saw
in his
the
greatness, even in his greatness, he sought not his own welfare or comfort. We've been looking at such men. Please wait, Sister Teresita. We've been looking at this book all through. We saw that you can be great. And that greatness is not about eating more food. That greatness is not about having big titles. Greatness in life. Greatness that affects people. That changes the destiny of many others. I'm just praying that your own record, when it will be flashed, when it will be brought out, it will not be that which will put you to shame. Again, in his greatness, he sought not his own welfare or comfort. Teresa, please go ahead.
Again, in his greatness, he sought not his own welfare or comfort. He sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all of them. He was a beacon of hope for them in a strange country. His obedience lifted their heads from shame and destruction. His integrity won a place of honor for all the Jews in the kingdom of Ahasuerus. His holiness of life brought glory to the name of the Lord. Many others became converted to God of Israel. He established an ordinance that has been in practice probably until today. Who knows whether the idea of Christmas and Boxing Day did originate from the Feast of Purim? What will be the last statement about my own life? What will I be remembered for? What will be the concluding remarks of my life and ministry? What will men say about me in the end? Most seriously, what will the Book of Chronicles of the King of Kings conclude my own life and pilgrim with? He sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. How will you end?
How will you end?
How will you be remembered for?
That's
praise be to God.
Thank you.
Lord,
thank you, sisters. Thank you. Now, brothers and sisters, as we conclude, the question we are asking is, what will be the last statement about your own life? What will I be remembered for? Will there be many lives that will stand up at the end to testify of what the worth of your life in their lives? What will be the concluding remarks on my life and on my ministry? What will come out of it at the end? They say, yes, this brother lived, this man did. What will they say about you at the end? More seriously, what will the Book of the Chronicles of the King of Kings conclude my own life and my own pilgrimage with? It was very interesting that at the end of all that we've been discussing, the concluding verse says, he sought the welfare of his people and he spoke peace to all his people. This was the concluding end of that chapter. That was the conclusion. I want you to look at it. That was how that book concluded. He said, Mordecai the Jew was second to the king Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. What will you be remembered for? And how will your life end? Again, before we pray, Brother Charles, it is time now for you to help us read this final prayer to draw conclusion on all we have said, and then we shall go to God in prayer together.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Lord, help me to labor behind the scene. Make me a silent laborer. Help me to labor on lives without seeking any personal gain. Help me to seek the welfare of your people and speak peace to them. I want to be ever true to you. I do not ever want to be ashamed of being associated with you. Lord, please help me. Help me to walk deeply with you. I need you to help me battle for righteousness and for your people. If need be, I will not mind to die for this. Dear Lord, I am fully aware that everything I do here on earth is being divinely recorded. I'm greatly concerned about my records. Please help me. Grant me grace to walk well in this life. Lord, help me to end well.
To end well.
Lord, please help us to end well.
Amen.
Let it be that I will be remembered for good. For silent labors done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we go to God in prayer? I think we are ending this book on a very solemn note. Brothers and sisters, you have been running up and down in your own nation. What is it that your life is being expended for? How many lives have you affected positively for God? Or how many lives have you damaged carelessly because of your negligence and omission? How many opportunities to bring men up for God have you lost? Are there any Esthers that God had used you to affect and raise? Or you are so consumed about your personal self that you did of no benefit to the people that God had raised you to help? As we look at the life of Esther, we saw a woman who, even though he was in affluence, she could fast and pray. She will not demand anything. They say, ask anything you need up to the half of my kingdom. She never made such a request. She only cried for the life of her people. Where are you, my brother? Where are you, my sister? What exactly will you be remembered for? What is the record in the chronicles of the King of Kings on your behalf? What are the omissions and the empty gaps of a wasted life? Wherever you are, I want you to think deeply as we pray together this day. I want you to say, Lord, you have allowed me to go through these Bible studies, looking at the life of Esther, the life of Mordecai, their prayer life, and several things you did by their lives. Lord, I am also here now. Do something deliberately with my life. Let my record change from now, oh God. Let the blood of Jesus that blot out and cleanses from all sin, all wrong records. May God apply the blood on our lives so that we can have a clean slate to start again. Wherever you are, my dear brother, wherever you are, my dear sister, you have been in positions of leadership. What did you do with it? You're in a place of affluence. What did you do with it? Is it for your pleasure and your comfort? Now, as I'm talking to you, those fortunes they are flew away. They are no more with you. And you are looking back, I have missed an opportunity. But today, since you have not died, God is giving you another chance. God is saying, we can start again. We can start again. You can repair this old life again. You like to pray and say, Lord, 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 help me. The question we have been praying over is, Lord, please help me. Please help me. That has been our cry in the course of this meeting. And this evening, as I pray with you, wherever you are, wherever you are, whether you are alone by your handset, or you are in your car, or you are in a Bible study class, or you are in the local church, or you are just with your family, will you bow your head and join me in prayer and plead with God to help you that your own life also will count? You don't need popularity to be effective. Mordecai was a very private man by the gate, but he could foil a coup, he could raise a queen, and even when he became the second in command, he had nothing for himself, all for the people of God, and all for God. Thank you for this time, O God. All our friends and brothers and sisters are listening. I hear you sitting and knocking at their door and say, I have come to you for this purpose. I can change your story. I can turn you around also. You like to please bow your head to pray. Talk to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, if you can't change my life as you have promised, please step into my life again. Give me another chance. Are you so much in despair because you think you are not being promoted, you are not being advanced? You are just like that gate keeper by the row, by the gate. You are saying, me like this, I'm the lowest income earner in my environment. But you can see Mordecai, he was faithful in that, was faithful in the least, was faithful in what belongs to others. And so God was able to advance him. What's your excuse? What are you battling? What are you fighting about? What are you complaining about? A man of the same nature like ourselves, they rose from nothingness unto greatness under God. Will you pray and say, Lord, don't let me squander my opportunities anymore. Don't let me waste the opportunities you have given me anymore. Please help me today. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. And in case you are there also, God had used this book, this study, to challenge you about taking a stand for righteousness and not bowing to wickedness, not bowing to all the compromise around you, not even to bow to the threat of a man, but to hold on to God and stand for righteousness. Have you been so challenged? And you are saying, Lord, help me to stand for you. Help me to stand for righteousness. Deliver me from bowing down and bending to every wind of doctrine. Please, Lord, help me. Help me to stand strong. Help me to end well. Help me to end well. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity of prayer. We thank you for the way you have led us in the course of this book study. and all that we have picked as we went on and on and on, as we saw the replacement of Vashti, because she was going to destroy biblical order. And we saw you bring in an orphan, a slave girl. Thank you. Lord, we are praying for ourselves today that our lives will take a new turn. Our service to you will become authentic. We don't want to be playing onto the gallery. We don't want to just be doing things for show. Please draw us to labor with you in obscurity, in silence, so that eternal things can be done. Many lives can be affected according to your promise. Holy Spirit, please help us as we conclude this Bible study for now, and then we look forward to how you are going to lead us from next week. We are asking that the Spirit of the living God will arise on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you because we do much more than we can ask or imagine, even according to your wisdom. Thank you. All those that have made decisions one way or the other, please reach out to them and minister to them. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.